Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And we want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us here to be with you. And I want to tell you that the phone-in number is 323-203. My goodness, I'm drawing a blank. 0815. And Dr. Allen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. California's sprinkling a little bit. But
hey, I heard you guys had big rain and hail.
I know. But it's happening across the country.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, guys. So kind of a semi-update. Just to refresh your memories, I was the person that called about the guy that told me he was told me he was divorced when we found out that he was, in fact, separated. And that was about a month ago when I called and I told you that I confronted him on the phone and I was done with him. So true to what you say, give them 8 weeks, a month to this day, this past Monday,
No. He
texted me. Yes, he did. He texted me scientifically, like you said, that rumination. A month in, he texted me saying, I hope you're doing well. And I responded and I said, I'm well. Thanks for asking. Because I remember you told me if he does reach out to reply basically in kind. So
that's right.
My question to you is, now this whole week is now kind of thrown off because it brought back feelings for him again.
Good.
How do I handle if he reaches out to me again? Because I never got to tell him, you know, how he hurt me and how disappointed I was by the fact that he lied. I just was so angry that day that I basically told him I'm done, you know, and hung up. I didn't say I was done, but I basically said, you know, I wish you and your wife the best. And I hung up the phone on him. And that was kind of the end of that. So if he tries to reach out to me again, what should I do? Because it also bothers me that he still is yet to apologize. And I know before you said, well, an apology isn't enough. He either needs to choose you or choose his wife, basically get a divorce. So at this point, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, he reached out like nothing was wrong, saying, you know, I hope you've been well. Like, he hasn't even addressed the elephant in the room of the fact that he, for 3 months that we were talking, lied.
Question.
Sure.
Do you understand that you're not giving me a chance to answer?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. And what you're saying to me is you want to be his chastising mother. Is that correct? You care enough about him that you want to spank him, lecture him, and then take him back as a recalcitrant child. Is that what you want to convey to him?
No, it's not.
Therefore, you're not to reach out to him at all, because if you do, even if it's to criticize him, he knows you're emotionally involved with him. If he calls you the greatest payback, if that's what it's called, would be to treat him courteously, but to say, I appreciate, you know, that you wanted me in your life enough to lie about your marriage, but I am not going to be unfaithful to my sister, your wife. I am going to say to you that you have a right to be who you are, but you are not available to me. And so if you call, I'll answer. but I won't see you. I won't negotiate a relationship, and I will wish you well. You have three forms of mothering him. One is a nurturing mother, which is what I demonstrated. You have every right to be you. You have every right to lie, to have me in your life. Criticizing him. Don't you know that? Or super parent. A super parent. Do you plan to get a divorce in the next 10 years? If so, I will gladly take you back as a lover. Now, which one of those do you want to be? Because you're definitely wanting to mother him. I just heard your lecture.
I mean, I don't want to be any of the three. I mean, I guess the closest would be the first one where you said, you know, I wish you well. Yeah, I don't want to lecture him. I guess I just would like to know why he felt the need to lie to me. But I guess it doesn't matter at this point.
I already told you the answer.
For instant gratification, yes.
The human being is not a monogamous creature. And they're a little bit more polyamorous than we are, but not much. So I want you to know his humanity took hold of him. And the truth of the matter is, in most cases, when a man betrays his wife and he doesn't just divorce her or let himself be caught in bed with somebody else, he's doing it to stay with the family. The family is she and the kids, if there are kids, or she
they don't
and
have
the family.
Kids. It's just her.
Okay. The point is that they lie to keep their relationship going. They don't want to lose the money in a divorce. Do you see what I mean? So my recommendation is a courteous response in kind, phone to phone, text to text, wishing him well and understanding that he meant to keep you close by, and that's nice, but he's not available.
Okay, because we've never had sex, so at least that's a good thing.
And that's the day that you will rejoice, the fact that you didn't give him your body for free. Okay?
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So
that was a perfect example of her wanting to mother him.
And who do we mother, Dr. Allen?
What?
Who do we mother? We mother Peter Pan, right?
Yeah, we mother Peter. When we're Wendy, he's Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
when
it's interesting.
We're a nun, N-O-N-E, or N-U-N, whichever you want.
Right.
When we're a nun and we're grossly overweight, or we don't take care of ourselves, we go with the monk. And a monk is a man who basically is not well, he doesn't like himself well enough to become a gentleman. So you see them in any cheap food store eating food for sex.
Ah.
They have to have some kind of sensuousness. So the monk goes with the nun. And then the sugar daddy goes with the claw woman. The claw woman is the one that steals men from other women. She's not loyal to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Oh, yes, I do.
A gentleman. Oh, did you have that happen to you?
I did. I did, actually.
Okay.
I did. And
most women do.
It's interesting because the claw woman in the case of, we'll call it the case of the red herring, she stroked his, I'm so innocent, I can't do anything, you can do everything for me, I can't survive without you. So that, playing on that, innocent me, my power went out. So, and that was really playing to that ego type of thing. And so, you know, I personally see her as the Claw Woman because that was her strategy.
That's right.
And it was interesting too, because in your book, Conversational
Getting
Rape
to I Do.
And Getting to I Do, well, specifically Conversational Rape, I got to...
Oh, Conversational Rape, yes, good.
Yeah, I really read that book, and I used it as a manual, really, to see the... And Eric Byrne, Games People Play, I those are like my two top books on the planet right there for understanding people and how they use their words and their manipulations. You know, I mean, if you wanted to learn how to manipulate somebody, you would read that book from a different standpoint and you would see it and know it, because man, it is a thing.
Hello. Oh, there's only three ways to communicate: intimidate with fear,
mm-hmm.
seduce with guilt and shame, or negotiate with love.
One moment, caller.
Now,
all
the
right.
last form of relationship is a lady with a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
person in the relationship who is most spiritual, most yin, most feminine, most sensitive, is the person that says no to immoral, unethical, and illegal behavior. It may be a man, it may be a woman, because men have feminine souls and women have feminine bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever teaches no, we're not going to practice that, is
one
the
moment,
spiritual director. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, all right. Hey, we've got another caller on the line. Caller, you go ahead with your question. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hello, greetings.
Hello.
I am calling to ask about, I'm trying to understand why it is that I seem to go unconsciously masculine when I get involved with a man that I am physically attracted to. And this
is
happens all
mother,
the time. And
a man?
Yes, I had a script training with you, and yes, she definitely is man, and I was raised to be
so
man.
So she is the controller, competitor, conquering in the relationship. Are your mom and dad still together?
No, they got divorced when I was 8.
Who left?
My mom.
And what was the reason she left?
Because my dad was a quote-unquote workaholic.
Okay. He didn't play with women. He played with money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she thought that he cheated on her, too, but she had no proof of it or anything, so.
Okay. So do you understand that when you're in the excitement of physical attraction, you immediately imitate your mother?
Yes, I do, and I want to stop that. I've been following your rules for the last 2 years, but it still happens, and I'm just frustrated.
Well, if it still happens, then you are not recognized the spot in your body. Where do you feel your anxiety? Is it in your throat? Is it in your heart? Where do you feel instinctively your anxiety when you're with somebody you're attracted to and the chemistry goes up?
Usually, like, high up in my chest.
Okay. And do you watch for that feeling instinctively? Do you watch for it so that you know you're slipping into masculinity when that happens? We feel our
feeling. No, I don't do that.
What?
I said, no, I haven't. I haven't been doing that. I didn't know about that technique.
You're knowing it today. I want you
Yay.
From now on to pay attention to where your instinctive feeling, instinctive, men follow their intuition. When a man meets a woman he's attracted to, his tongue tongue flaps around in stupid language. He trips over, spills the coffee, and doesn't act like the hip, slick fool that he is when he's with the woman he doesn't want. See, we're all really on duty, you know, when we're with somebody we don't chemically want. When we're with somebody we chemically want, we act like idiots. That's why I ask you to date three times so that you can get past that anxiety. So would you be so kind as to promise, when you feel that feeling, shut your mouth?
Yes, I will definitely shut my mouth. I have a tendency to, I notice I'll try to impress them. I think that's masculine.
You'll try to earn their respect by impressing them. Cool.
We want
to be worthy of their love. Worthiness does not require effort. It requires just you being alive. Deserving is a power game in which you show that they can't break you, control you, compete with you, and they say, okay, goodbye.
Yeah, and then I lose them. I lose them when I start being masculine. It's like I lose them where something happens.
Your job is to be receptive to their attention, available to their attention, and respecting of their attention, unless it's immoral, unethical, illegal. Are you willing to practice your femininity by watching for your feelings?
Yeah, I'll watch for my feelings. That's one thing I think I got away. I've not done properly. I don't know what I do.
You start
get in my head too much.
You start earning respect. You don't need respect. You need cherishing.
Okay.
Raise your right hand. I promise.
Okay. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the men I have chemistry for.
To respect the men I have chemistry for.
Unless.
That sounds like a big dog.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A doctor.
A doctor.
Or a lawyer first.
Or a lawyer first.
That's your contract with us today.
Okay.
All right.
I also attract unavailable men too, so I don't know if that's connected to that or not.
Of course you attract unavailable men. Because then you can chase them.
Oh, okay. That makes so much sense. I never thought of it like that.
If you didn't think of these ways of being, and you didn't call this program, you would continue to practice your mother's skills until you were dead.
I know, I don't want to do that. It's terrible. It's horrible.
Then keep the contracts keep the contracts you make with me.
I absolutely will.
Get out there and show it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Love it.
You're welcome.
Well, everyone, if you're listening, thank you, caller. If you're listening right now, you should know that you can have Dr. Allen all to yourself to speak at your engagement. We do boutique speaking. If you want to talk about that, you can reach out at info@drpatallen.com. And Dr. Allen has a lot of wonderful topics to share with your group. And you know as well that Dr. Allen does phone appointments as little as 15 minutes and up to as much time as you need. And speaking of the life script, which a couple of our callers have mentioned, that is a special appointment. Generally an hour long. There's some work to do before you come as far as filling out your life script papers. It's incredibly enlightening. the last lady just talked about having a script session with Dr. Allen and finding out who wrote her script and who were the players in it, and trying to execute change, which isn't always easy, but usually is very fulfilling. Dr. Allen, we were talking about getting to I Do a few minutes ago, and I have a question here from one of our Facebook people. And by the way, Facebook people would like you to say hey and hello to them out there that are listening.
Hey, Facebook people. She
wants to know, she feels shy about the negotiation of they've already decided to be continuous and monogamous, but now it comes down to that negotiating time, space, money, specifically money.
Wait a minute.
And
you
play.
You didn't mention, you said continuous and you said monogamous, but you didn't say long term.
You're right. Long term. But she's in the point of the negotiation where time, space, money, and play. And she's
to do time, space, money, and play.
And she's
That's chapter 14 in the book, my biggest seller, still in the stores from 1995.
Yeah.
And people often hate it when they first read it because it's so square.
It is square, but it's square.
Then they have to buy it again.
Yeah, because they threw it. They threw it across the room.
Threw it away, burned it.
Got mad, stepped on it. Exactly. So she's feeling, she says she's feeling a bit intimidated and kind of shy about that. And she wants to know, can you give a scenario, a little bit of a talk track?
How to bring it up.
And how not to just be like, I think she's saying she feels like she's going to really be kowtowed and not, you know, be like, this is what I want. As far
First
as
of
like,
all, she would do well to write down the following. These are the tools. This is at least the tool she needs for this particular soliloquy.
Perfect.
First, you have to say like this. Honey, or what you call him, whatever, Jim, George. Honey, I want to talk to you about something having to do with us. When would it be convenient if you are willing to listen? Would it be today, maybe? Or when? You must make an appointment for the subject. I want to talk about us. And the convenience for him. If there's a man on this radio, on this phone, then he says, I want to talk to you about something sensitive. When would it be most comfortable? When you men want to bring up something that's painful, please give us the subject matter, not, I want to talk to you about something. We know you're mad. So say,
right.
I want to talk to you about something about us. Or about your kids, or about the house, or something. And when would it be comfortable for you to listen to me? And for a woman with a man, when would it be convenient for you to listen to me? Hopefully today. Then he says, well, today, what is it? The first thing you say to him is, you have every right to say, think, feel, do, not do, what you're doing, but I'm uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in what I would be comfortable with? No? Okay. If you ever want to tell me, make an appointment. Oh, you want me to tell you? Well, you have a right to say that in front of people, but I was really embarrassed. And what do you think about not doing that, especially in public? Again, and what can I do to help you and I do it?
I love that. I love that.
That is the third tool of my five tools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes. I love that. That's awesome. Good. Yeah. She was saying that she was feeling shy about that, negotiating those terms with respect to time, space, money, and play.
That's exactly right.
And didn't know how to approach it.
Okay, the one for that is, honey, I want to talk to you about some of my needs and your needs in our relationship now that we're committed to being together as a monogamous, continuous couple. When would it be convenient, if ever, for you to listen to my needs and wants and me to listen to yours? At what point would it be convenient for you to hear?
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the same thing.
Beautiful.
So she would say she has the items to negotiate deals between, you know, and when would it be convenient for a man and comfortable for a woman?
Ah, perfect. I think we have a caller on. Caller, are you there? Because if you are, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, I am here. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yes, we can.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yay. Thank you. Hi, Dr. Pat. My question, I recently read your book, Getting to I Do, and I really wish I'd read it like 20 to 30 years ago. It was extremely enlightening, and I learned a lot. And what I learned is that I've been operating in the masculine for many years, and I think I've been operating in masculine out of necessity, just based on how life has unfolded. I'm currently a single parent right now, raising two kids, and I'm really in the masculine. However, I do know that I absolutely want to be in the feminine. I want to be in a relationship where I am in the feminine 100% and I'm with someone who is 100% masculine.
Are you dating and flirting once a week?
I have been on break from dating because I've met so many feminine men that I feel a little disenchanted with the dating scene. So I'm on break, but I have been out dating and flirting, but I can't seem to find the masculine men out there.
Are you doing anything that men like to do, like golf, like bowling?
That's a good question.
Like
probably
tennis.
Not enough.
Like
no, I don't think I'm doing enough of that. No.
See, I'm even going to advertise a service that's out there. It's called My Social Calendar. And it's for people that want to get together with people like a mingle who are doing the same mountain climbing or swimming or whatever they're doing. And they're not geared towards dating. They're just wanting to be with people of like interest.
Okay.
And
now,
I'm sure, what city do you live in?
I'm in the Bay Area, California.
Okay. Do you
and the
look
men
up
are very
mingles?
Feminine.
Do you look
no,
up mingles?
I don't. Okay.
Mingles are things that are advertised in social magazines, you know, dating, whatever they are. Anyway, it's mingles are for people that want to get together in a like subject. I gave you a confessional service, which costs money, but mingles generally are people wanting to get together based on interests.
Okay. Now, if I've been in the masculine, which I completely identify, but I know I want to be in the feminine, how
You'll
do I...
use my
like
tools.
Okay. Well, those very, very initial conversations where you're just starting to say hi to somebody, am I...
Well, you're not saying hi.
He's saying hi.
He's chasing you. You're not chasing him.
Yes.
I would suggest you take dance lessons and go dancing with the class after dance class and do your flirting there where people...
Okay.
are wanting to dance.
Okay.
Dr. Allen, I love it. I'm going to interject this. This reminds me of the scene with the sea witch and the little mermaid where she takes away her voice, and then so Dr. Allen's taking away your actual voice, and she says, "Don't underestimate the importance of body language. You've got your looks, your pretty face. So don't be the first one to talk. The egg sits still. Yeah. The sperm comes to the egg." Dr. Allen's famous for that. And the problem is when you talk first, you're masculine. So you're going to attract those beta males. Yes. You're going to attract the feminine man.
Yes, I learned that through the book. So that was an eye-opener for me.
The art of dropping the handkerchief.
Shutter.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I don't want you to. It's okay. You're an eye opener. I want you to be a mouth shutter.
Okay. Okay.
Remember, the egg sits, the sperm moves.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And if I'm on online dating sites, I'm still waiting for the man to approach me first.
Yes.
Oh, no, Dr. Allen. Dr. Allen believes that if you see a man that you're interested in on an online dating site, I'm going to use the term drop your handkerchief, which is what we did in the olden days. So you would just like send a little wink or send a little wave, whichever site you're on, Plenty of Fish or Farmers Only. And by the way, you're going to want to pick one of those sites that has men that are more toward masculine.
Some, like Bumble, that has women chasing men by order of the company.
Right.
Okay. So that's not a preferable site.
But you're going to want to look at his profile and see if he's masculine. You can usually tell by his language.
I think many of them appear masculine, but then it's really shocking how many feminine men are out there. And maybe my body language is still too masculine. So I need to work on that. I'm still practicing.
Well, I want you to know time is wasting. Get it down.
Yes,
do it. Practice.
You're so true. Yes. Okay.
5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Okay.
Flirt.
Okay. I'm going to do it.
Awesome. We want to hear a report back, caller.
I will. Trust me. You'll hear from me again. Thank you so much.
All right. And lock those lips, man. Lock those lips.
They're locked.
Kelly, is this show podcast?
You better believe it is. We have archives of every show we've ever done on LA Talk Radio. Not only that, we're broadcast on both channels multiple times during the week. Not our live, but we're only live on Thursday, but you can hear us again and again on LA Talk Radio, and always go to LA Talk Radio to listen to any of our archive shows.
I'm doing that. Thank you so much. Yes, I am.
Awesome. Good. Thanks, caller. We want to hear.
Thank you. Okay.
Practice. Bye-bye.
I will. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love it. And Dr. Allen, we have a fast comment really quick from one of our male listeners who says, "I'm masculine, but I'm fearful now because of Me Too."
That's
interesting.
Right. That is
interesting.
Totally accurate.
Very interesting. I think we have another caller on.
Men are afraid that all women are going to take assertion as aggression.
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think it's really an off-balance thing right now. Let's take our caller. We'll get back to that. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I want to talk about the passive-aggressive. I read the books that you've recommended, Living with a Passive-Aggressive
Living
Man.
With
I also read...
Man by,
Wetzler, is that who wrote it?
Scott Wetzler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I read that a few times.
W-E-T-Z-L-E-R.
And it's good, and it does create
some... It is very
good. Yeah. Too good. Which
so what
a lot
do you
of...
want to ask?
Okay, and then I read Silent Marriage, which is also really good. Can a passive-aggressive man make and keep agreements?
Yes, if the woman he's with, or the man, because I do gay men and lesbian women, if the masculine energy of the passive-aggressive man who is over-controlled as a kid and he has decided to keep mother up and off her feet by saying, yes, I'll do it, and then not doing it. So this is the lesson of dealing with those men that were trained to be passive-aggressive by over-masculine mothers. And the book on that is The War of the War Against Boys. And I don't remember the author. Yeah. Anyway, here's what it is. You want to go somewhere, and you want him to go with you. He's your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You don't say, hey, so-and-so's having a party and she wants us to come. I want us to go. And he says, sure. And then when it comes time to go, he doesn't want to go. So here's what you say to him instead. Honey, so-and-so invited us to come to her house for a party on blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, and if you want to join me, meet me at the corner or at the car or at the party, and we'll go. You see the difference? I'm going. Do you want to join me? You know what that doesn't say? I want you to take me. I want you to go. If you want to go, join me. You know what happens to them? They're so accustomed to not doing what they promised to do that it flusters them when you're happy and going alone and they're sitting there by themselves. So pretty soon they say, yeah, okay. You have to change their program. Don't ever try to control a man that's wounded by being over-controlled. Be an autonomous woman and invite him to join you if he wants, and where he can meet you. I'll be at the car at 4 o'clock. You see?
Yeah.
And then
passive-aggressive
men have been taught to upend their mothers or sisters or whoever is doing it by saying yes and then not doing it.
Yeah. Are they
what
more
doing,
likely?
What?
Are they more likely to not be monogamous?
No, that's nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
It's a power game. They're playing the power game on the woman. You might call them woman haters, but they don't hate women. They just don't want to be controlled by women. So don't mother them. Honey, I'm going to see blank blank movie. If you want to go, I'll meet you at the car at 5.
Yeah. What about
you
the passive man?
They end up sitting on the couch and 5 o'clock comes and they are the only one that's stopping them from going to the movie with you. And they realize they have to change their game.
Yeah.
You can't change a passive-aggressive person. He has to pay the price of being passive-aggressive. And that's called, I'm going anyway, with or without you.
Yeah.
Okay?
So, yeah, with a passive-aggressive man, a year and a half...
And passive-aggressive,
yeah.
Too.
Yes.
Okay.
So we did the negotiation January 2018, and he loved it. He was so excited about it. And afterwards, he was beaming, and we had done the negotiation. And then a few times throughout the year, it was as though we never had that talk, and he makes plans
to
do things.
He had attacks of passive-aggressiveness. Something reminded him of that early training program.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what works with them. They get hideously frustrated when we don't control them. When we give
them,
the biggest thing to handle in life is freedom. That's the hardest thing.
Wow.
We get accustomed to being owned, scripted by other people.
Do they know they're passive-aggressive? Do they know they're doing this?
No, they don't. What they know is you're upset and you're not controlling them. They love not being controlled. But if they're given control, they have nothing to fight. And then they're in control and ruining their own life. And they notice it. She went without me. That bitch went without me.
So what about when he makes plans and you've made a commitment that, you know, your life partners, you're headed in that direction. You've made the agreement.
Yes.
And he is making plans to do things that, you know, celebrate a birthday with another couple on a Saturday night and doesn't include you. And then the mistake I made was asking, after hearing about it for a month, are you considering having me join you? And he said, no, I
That's
didn't think of it. You weren't
That's
invited.
A decent question. What did he say?
He said, no, you weren't invited. And I said, well, the other couple met me once, and it's his family, not his immediate family. And I said, well, they met me. They wouldn't know to call me. I mean, they know we've been together for at least a year, you know. It would be for you to include me on your birthday dinner celebration on a Saturday night that you have to walk past my apartment to go to. And he said, well, you weren't invited. And he said, it's just a 90-minute dinner. I said, it's Saturday night and celebrating your birthday. He's like, well, I see it differently.
Darling,
nope, I didn't
am
even,
I correct?
Yeah.
You were wanting him to get the old host and the hostess to invite you. Is that what you wanted?
No. So I being in the committed relationship that we're in. That
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I want an answer
yeah.
to the question. Did you want
re-asking
him
the question again.
To ask the host and the hostess to invite you?
No, I wanted him to include me.
Well, it wasn't his party. Was it his party?
They were meeting at a restaurant, a public restaurant in
whose party? Who created this party?
So for 3 years,
wait,
both men.
I want the answer to my question. Who created this party?
It's a tradition they do. They do every year. So it's
That's
a group thing.
Two of them
the three
and
of
one
them.
Of him.
Yeah.
Okay. If he were your man, he would have said, I'm not willing to go without my girlfriend.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He didn't say that. So are you sure
no.
you're his girlfriend?
Well, that's what he's been saying, but as of that day, in January, I'm
is
not.
Is this a deal breaker for you?
Yes.
Okay, then you go to him and say, I have something very sad to say to you about us. When would it be convenient? Now, please, if you can. Okay, you had every right to have friends that give you birthday parties, but I felt abandoned when you didn't tell them that you were with me in commitment. And I'm wondering if you want a committed relationship with me. Are we a team or aren't we?
And when I said that, he said, I said, aren't, I thought you were all in, which was 14 months prior to this conversation, he said, not today. So he tells me he's not all in and committed when it's convenient for him. And then he turned the conversation around to as though I said, you know, I used a want. I know I made a mistake. I said, I don't want to be with a man that treats me like this. And I said, I thought you were all in. You're not all in? And he said, nope, not today. And then
so
he
you
sat
found
silent
out
on the
your answer.
Yeah. And so then he turned it all around on me as though I was the
I
one
understand.
That left the relationship.
I understand yeah. that. He has a right to do it wrong if he's willing to pay the price.
Yeah. So when I said this, and
it,
this makes no sense.
Or are you
yeah.
not?
I'm not. He said, when I said to him, I don't want to be with a man that treats me like this, many weeks later, he had said to me that implied me saying I was leaving the relationship because it was the same as me saying, I don't want to be with a man that has brown hair and brown eyes. He has brown hair and brown eyes. So the statement meant I didn't want to be with him. It makes no sense to me because one is the personal being. The other is behavior.
Darling.
And so, yeah.
People who are seductive and or intimidating create wonderful excuses for their games.
Yeah.
So Games
Big
People
game.
Play by Eric Byrne is a good book.
It's an excellent book.
What you did, you got the answer to your question.
I did.
He wasn't committed.
Yeah. That's right.
But
yeah.
you took care of you. And don't be surprised if he's not coming back.
Huh. Okay. Well, he's come back every time in the past 6 years. So I'm not expecting it because I'm not doing it again. So
don't be surprised if he comes back and you decide whether you want him or not.
Oh, I thought you said at first, don't be surprised if he doesn't.
Oh, no.
I said does come back.
Yeah. Pardon me. I misheard you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Not bad. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you for clearing this up for me. I appreciate you.
Good.
Take care.
And read Conversational yeah. Rape by Dr. Pat
I
Allen.
I have it. I recommend it.
It is excellent. Thank you, caller, so
Thanks,
much.
Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
That's rugged. That's a rugged one. You know?
What?
That's a rugged one. All in, not all in. Who knows? Who knows? But you're right. The passive aggressive man is often a tough nut. All right. We've got one more call I think we have time for, and let's do that.
Okay.
So I want to thank Ronan, too, our switchboard tech guy and all around. Excellent person for being always with us and always on those calls. Thank you, Ronan. Hi,
Hello.
Caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. My question is, I am engaged for 5 months, and some of the topics you guys have been talking about, I think, may have answered my question. I want to ask Dr. Pat how to approach the subject of him not telling his friends and family about our engagement. We had a birthday party for him last night, and his daughter noticed my engagement ring and started asking me questions about it. So it makes me feel really uncomfortable with the fact that he's not sharing the news or that it seems to be secretive.
Then tonight's session is based on making an appointment. Honey, I want to talk to you about something very sensitive. Is it convenient now or when would it be? And then you say, you know how much I appreciate being engaged to you, and I am really confused about the fact you don't want to make it public. And I want to know if you're not really engaged to me, that it's a secret behind the wall.
That's perfect. I made an appointment with him.
Do. What?
Yeah. I made an appointment with him for tonight, and we make appointments regularly.
Oh, you're going to do it tonight?
Yeah, I just didn't know how
Good
to
luck.
Approach it. I didn't know how to approach
all
it, but I like saying that I love being engaged to you. I really, because I didn't know if, say, like, you have every right to not tell people, but when you don't, you know, I was like, I don't want to start it off that way. I don't want to make them right in that way. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Okay. All right.
So,
that's all I needed. I needed a quick brush up.
You got it.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Thank
awesome.
You, caller. Good luck. Please let
Thank
us
you.
Know. We
I
want
will.
To hear.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Bye.
Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What have you got to say?
Oh, my good.
I know.
Nobody,
is that crazy?
You love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. There
exactly.
You go.
And don't forget to use the tools. The tools are amazing. So, about the tools. If you're looking for some of our one-day seminars, which are in Orange County, you know you got to go to oneicestore.com and find out all about what we've got upcoming. Furthermore, again, I want to reiterate, because I get a lot of questions about this, Dr. Allen, do phone appointments, most certainly. As a matter of fact, Dr. Allen will be exclusively doing things like phone appointments and a personal appearance, boutique appearances for groups. You can request information about that at info@drpatallen.com. Always visit our website to see what's going on, www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for that newsletter, then you'll be the one that's on the cutting edge and have all the information. Like us on Facebook, follow us everywhere. We love you. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.